Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. You know, I thought a lot about the broadcast I did last Friday called The Elect. The Lord loves us, and He sees things that we don't. And the theme of what He had me to share, it could sound harsh or not. I mean, it's just things people didn't notice. I didn't notice it either till the Lord who dealt with me over the years. I knew that that was a problem, but I couldn't pinpoint it. I really couldn't. So I don't expect any others to pinpoint it. When I say follow God, whenever he had me to teach or encourage people to follow Him, He would have steered us around. He would have, you know, helped us to deal with the foundational problems that do exist. Now, He does it in His love. And He covered all these things in His address to the seven churches. He ended each address saying, let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The problem is people don't always do that. If you're going to follow God, you have to pay attention to Him. He tells the truth. And small things become great problems. It's just like in James, where it said in James chapter 3, every evil work follows envy and strife, you know. So if you get rid of the envy and strife, you get rid of the every evil work that will follow it. And so it is with when people let things get by, or the enemy will use, if you don't see the problem, he will use it against you, because he's low down that way. Now, he knows the things that he has already experienced for thousands of years, the things we're beginning to learn. So we have to fight him in the strength of the Lord. And because of the blood of Jesus, we can do that. We have a brand new spirit. And the Lord will show us things, and He'll help us to do things in a greater way. Now, I experienced that over time. And the way things, he showed me aspects out of wisdom when I wanted to love His people, for instance. He taught me to be long-suffering, not to jump to conclusions, to hear the whole, instead of focusing on my frustration, listen to the person and hear what they're saying, hear their first frustration, and let them talk about it, let them say what's, and consider it, because sometimes people are frustrated for a reason, and sometimes it can be pointed out and solved. And the Lord showed me those kind of things. When people are having a bad day, be strong. Be long-suffering. Be temperate. Don't be so fast to say something provocative, especially when people are frustrated. And then Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. So I learned some key points from as the Holy Spirit taught me to love His people. But as he helped me to see these things, I could do better and better. And I wanted to represent Jesus. I felt like it was just too important to not know God. I felt like it was just too important for people to miss out on salvation over something silly or over something minor. And our greatest problems are minor compared to what's going on. When you look at the big picture and what's at stake, it's a good thing to lay your life down, to let your life be hid in Christ. And so as we do these things, I wanted to master this. I didn't want to give it over the happenstance, hoping I wouldn't do, you know, when I almost got in a fight with that guy, I that was like a wake-up call to me. And I didn't want to, I didn't want to ever do that again. And I knew that it would happen because I didn't know, it was things I didn't know. I didn't even want to be frustrated when I was frustrated. But I asked the Lord to teach me when I saw that he would, when I saw that he would help me do it. I experienced the strength of the Lord in real time. And it was something that I couldn't produce. I couldn't reproduce. It was something that the Lord did for me. So I asked him about it. I said, Lord, how did you do that? I said, teach me to love your people. And it also taught me to consider the fact that I can do other things in his strength instead of not just an emergency. Other concepts I could do in his strength. And so as I did that, you know, it's just like this here. It says in James chapter 3, he said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Watch verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, watch this, and able to bridle the whole body. So the easy way to control the whole body is with your words. And he taught me to say what I wanted, say the thing. I was listening to Charles Capps for years. And I started, a lot of people in those days, they were using the message of faith confessions to build their family, help their children, speaking life over their family, their children, speaking life over their situations, over their job, over their, you know, asking for better things and receiving the American dream, basically. Most people use it, I believe, to secure the American dream. But I saw something deeper in those days, and his message really helped me to be a life. And it really helped people to establish the American dream and build businesses. The wisest people built businesses, and they drew near to the Lord, and they used their confessions to learn and grow. Now, that's what I did. But many people, they did it to get gain, but those that followed through. But I wanted to learn the things of God, and I wanted to learn his ways and his wisdom. So I confessed that I knew things when I didn't. I did it by faith. I forgave people by faith. And I blessed people by faith. I did all, you know, whatever the Lord gave me, he helped me to change course. So all of the small problems that turn into great problems can be killed. And I know that if temptation could be destroyed, because the Lord helped, he eventually taught me how to kill the temptation. No matter what I see here, or, you know, no matter what others do, I'm still stable. And I still love God. He taught me to love people that's tempting me, and don't be afraid of falling. And, you know, that set me, it set me free in a way, and it gave me a chance to breathe, and I could pay attention to what the Lord was saying, and I could retain what he was saying. Because he would give me a message, and then 3 weeks later when I got to preach the message, you know, I would know sometimes a month ahead of time that I was going to preach. Well, when he gave me a message, I felt like a kid on Christmas. I was full of the word. I felt that joy, and I couldn't wait. That word wanted to get out, and I could feel it. The message wanted to get out and go to the people that God sent it to. And I felt pregnant with the word of God. But then by the time it was time for me to preach, I didn't feel like that. I had to read it off of paper. I would be excited about the message, but I had to read it off the paper. I didn't feel it bubbling in my spirit. And years went by, and I one day I said, Lord, why is it when you give me a message, I feel like a kid on Christmas? I feel like it's a holiday, and You know, then when I preach it, I have to read it off the paper. He said the enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart. Now, I knew that term because we siphon gas out of cars. You can't do that in new cars, but older cars, you could take a pipe, a hose, and you could suck the air out of it and aim it in the bucket, and all the gas in that tank will go in that bucket. And you had to stop it when the bucket gets full. Well, that's what he was doing through frustrations, temptations, things didn't go my way. Those things absorb the word out of you. And so now I knew what to do. So as when God gave me a message, I knew the enemy was going to try to siphon it. I would rebuke him. When I would have thoughts that would draw the word out of me, I would fight them. I would fight the thoughts. So or anything that was a problem, people would get upset, parts, people give me the wrong parts. And in those days, General Motors used to put a Chevrolet motor in a Buick, and a Buick motor in a Pontiac, and a Pontiac motor might even be in a Cadillac, because they had about five brands. And you ask them for an Oldsmobile water pump, Oldsmobile might have a Chevrolet engine, and they don't have the part that day. And you got to go ride around town trying to find the parts so you can work. Well, when that happened, it was very frustrating, because now I got somebody's car torn down, and I'm looking for parts so I can finish and get paid and do another one that somebody's waiting on. And I told them I'd be there at a certain time, and I can't. So that was very frustrating. And, you know, I don't mind using real life situations, because this is the kind of stuff people go through in business and in the work life. And it can affect how, it can affect the way you receive and retain the word of God. But when I knew what to watch out for, only the Holy Spirit can show you. And you have to want to know, and you have to ask, and you have to believe, and you have to receive what he's saying and retain it in order to live by it. So following God works. And I never said it like that. I said, if you follow God, he'll enhance everything you're doing. Some people will say, well, how in the world could you preach and then work? That's very difficult. Not with God. With God, nothing's impossible. You just have to have a mind to do what you got to do. It's kind of like the woman with two sets of twins. Her husband left, and she's got to feed those children. She's in nursing school, and she makes it. I hear stories like that. A woman have two children or young children, and then she do something outstanding. And no matter what's going on, her love for her children and her family, she will fight the good fight. You can do, if you put in the situation, you can rise to the occasion. It's just a matter of choice. You can either sit down and cry, you can beg, borrow, and steal, or you can do it God's way. And I never had to beg, because God was always giving me what I needed. He always showed me what to do. And that's just the way it is. So it worked. I learned what to do. And I did it. I confessed that I knew. I wanted to know. I had hoped that I would learn it. I didn't know how I would learn. I didn't even know what to do. But I knew that God would show me. I had confidence that I had faith that he would show me. And I had faith and confidence and hope that I would know what to do. And I just paid attention to him. So if you learn to pay attention to the Lord, you'll learn a lot more. Just because you don't know today don't mean anything. It means nothing. It doesn't matter what you need to do. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God will show you. But first, he'll show you how to kill the big problem so that you can go forward. And I mentioned the scripture in James chapter 3. Here it is. This is chapter 3, verse 14. Now he said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sinful, sensual, devilish. Now this is the key verse. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So big small things that you can tackle turn into big things that you can't. Because you know, if you say the wrong thing at the worst time, you may lose a marriage, you may lose a friend. You know, it can cause problems even unto death. But if you stop it, it can't. Every evil work means evil situations. And they can be stopped. Now, the enemy, I said, I talked about, the Lord had me teaching about how when people are learning the word, just going back a little bit, people are learning the word and they're growing. But you also have to destroy the works of darkness. You have to drive it out of you. It can't exist in you. Any attachments such as reserves and allowances. Reserves is things that we hold on to. We won't let it go. And we do it. You know, I asked the Lord, I said, what's the difference between a reserve and an allowance? The reserves is things you hold back on purpose. Allowances are things you hold back without realizing it. Things you allow in your body, you know, like people allow doubt in their mind or in their body, and it eventually gets in their heart and their faith won't work. And that's kind of how I learned it. So I go back to how I learned things. And people allow rudeness. They repent from it, but they don't master it. You know, that's why it's still there. What I was doing when I asked the Lord to teach me how to, I didn't trust myself to walk the line. I saw that the Lord would strengthen me. I trusted Him to help me walk the line. And I desperately wanted to, because I desperately wanted to. I saw the need. I know people need Jesus, and I wanted to do everything I could to help people know Him. And so I stopped. I don't trust myself in anything. I trust Jesus. I say, Lord, help me do all that's in your heart. Because I don't know, you know, there's a lot of things I still, key things I may not realize, I may not know. And now that could be things that's not like God that I haven't found out about yet. So I love a shotgun. Shotguns don't miss. I mean, if you miss with a shotgun, you really need to go to a shooting range and learn how to shoot. But my shotgun is this: everything that's not like Jesus got to go. Everything that's like Satan's got to go. And the other shotgun phrase I use is, Lord, help me do all that's in your heart. Now, when I first was about to confess that, I was going to say, help me do all the things you're showing me in my heart. Help me do them. But I bypassed myself. Because the Lord, He always gets to something much greater. And I want to get to it too. Because he can only use us to, he builds on a foundation. And in order to have the foundation, you have to pay attention and receive what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you. Everything that the Holy Spirit brings to you is very important. Don't drop it. Don't let it go to waste. Capture it. Sometimes, now, when the Lord gives you something, a war comes with it. You got to understand that He gave you something that people need. A fight's with it. You're just going to have to fight the good fight and win. And so to keep me out of the equation, I say I would do all this in His heart, because I want to get to the things that He's taking me to. Every time He bring me to a new understanding or give me something to do, a teaching, or He give me training. And then I do it. As I'm doing it, He adds something to it. There's a progression. Even in this website ministry He gave me, I can tell you of many progressions. I used to use dates, for instance. I used to go by the date that. So the first two or three years, I had it would be HTH and then the date that I aired it. Then one day He said, I want you to start using titles. I knew then that He was doing something with it. And now He wants to use titles. And that was a reason for it. Because I asked Him how to do it. And at first it was the dates. he allowed me to do the dates. And God, you know, with God, you have to, if you pay attention to do exactly what he's saying, you know, it seemed like it would make more sense to use the titles. But see, the Lord loves people. He want to see if people are going to be faithful. He want people that are hungry. And when things don't look perfect, they want to know. So they heard me on the radio, or they heard a message, and they're hungry. They don't care how it's worded. But then some people are particular. And then the first years I had the road noise, you know, I used to do them while I would drive to work. That's the only way I could do it. My schedule was too tight. But the hungry people didn't care about that, and they still listen to them. See, God separates the wheat from the chaff in many ways, because if you're going to follow him, you gotta have some sternness about you. That's just the way it is. So it got better and better, and the Lord, he has a reason. Now, sometimes I ask him why he does a certain way, and he'll tell me. And it makes more sense than I could come up with. So I trust him. Now, all the pastors that rejected the things that God had me to share, and the things that the way things were going, the Lord taught me, first of all, in my training, don't take it personal. And he gave me a beautiful example. And that's why people will say, well, he's full of animosity. I'm not. Even in those days, I was very disappointed at what would happen. I did not understand it. Yeah, I said, Lord, I just knew something was wrong, and it was more like a nationwide problem that he was exposing me to. He let me walk right into it. Now, I listened to people on the radio, and the Lord would send me to them and give them a word, and things didn't go like I expected. And I said, and it puzzled me. And some preachers received. Now, there were preachers that received the wisdom. And the Lord didn't have to send me back to them. I gave one pastor one word, and it came to pass. I never had to go back to him. He was following God anyway. That's why I say God have people that will obey him and do what he say do. And he can do things in a greater way in their life. But most people, I had problems. I had I ran into Cain jealousy. That's all I can. That's the best way to describe it. You know, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but this is a problem. I asked a guy that was a doctor. He was a physician's assistant. I said, man, he helped me to go minister to pastors, but I told him, I described to him the way things were going. He said, well, listen, don't hold that against them. They were sinners a long time before they were Christians. And some things they have to grow out of. I received that. That's true. That's true with everybody. It's something. There are things there, even in my life, that I didn't like. And I wasn't always faithful. I wanted to run the other way. Sometimes the Lord wanted me to do something. That's just as bad as, you know, working against somebody, or if they preaching good and then you don't want them preaching because they preach too good, they look better or something in your mind. That those kind of problems exist. And then I understand that part too. You know, sometimes a person that can preach well, they might be a novice. And I can see that a novice will get in pride and mess the whole church up. So I can see the fears and the, you know, the mindsets. But these kind of problems cause waste. What you have to do, if you have any concern, or if you're about to release somebody to preach, all you have to do is go and ask the Lord, and do what he say do. The Lord may say, well, I have a message that will help your church if you let it, if you release him. And then they might be say, they might say, well, Lord, what if you know, wise pastors think of the, they think things through. They know the condition of the people. They know that some of the young girls might like him or something. Or they know things can go haywire because they've seen it. I respect that too. I understand how people process. But the Lord knows perfectly. And he'll show you how to handle things like that. And that's where you have to be relaxed. When you follow God, you have to rest in his decision. That's what following God is all about. You have to rest in his decision. There are people that will run off with the secretary. There are preachers that will do whatever, that will make a mess. And sometimes they get to preach. And then they make the mess. But people that's sincere, they're not going to do that. Especially when God is with them. And people can't tell whether you're growing or whether you're, they can't always tell the depth of your growth. And I get that. Now, so there's no animosity. The things that I have to share, I do it when the Lord prompt me to. That's the only time I'll ever share it, because I know that he got somebody that can handle it. But there are problems. The enemy has been getting away with too much for too long. Too many preachers have gotten fired from God's greater will for their life. And I know it. And I walk around knowing that they done got fired. I don't like that. Because these are good men of God. They can do what God said. Do. You just have to. You have to shoot the small foxes that spoil the vine. You have to get rid of the things that's holding you back. The fears. The things you've allowed. Most of the time it's not sin. It's something that's. It's petty jealousies that you didn't deal with. It turns into sin. It causes you to make a corrupt choice. It causes you to contribute to the sin of omission. You didn't do something that you should have done, and then God had to fire you. That doesn't need to happen. But when God is in full control, you're going to learn. If you're paying attention, you have to want it, and you have to pay attention. Then you can learn it. And the Lord showed me their side of it. The Lord, I used to pray and ask the Lord what he made on other planets. And because he told me once, he said, I'm still making planets and people. So one day the Lord gave me a dream. Now, whenever he gave me a dream of another planet, I have to share this because their planets don't look like ours. If it's a world that never fails, it's ever progressive. Let me say it slow. It's ever progressive. There's no sin. There's no Cain jealousy. There's no envy. There's no strength. It's not a thing. They have, you know, before he showed me these things, he said, when I show you, he said, notice how they love each other. Notice how they work together. Notice the success they share. When somebody's successful, they share it. They learn from each other and they grow. And their world looks over the top. You wouldn't be able to concentrate on this one if you saw theirs. So when the Lord showed me another planet, he always cloak it. He make it look like Earth. So in this dream, it looked like an African plain with two or three foot high grass that a leopard could walk in, and you could barely see it. You can see him moving, they were jumping over the grass like a leopard would do when he chased something. And I was in the army in that dream. I was like the captain. I had men under me. We had Jeeps, not Humvees, but Jeeps in those days. Cause this was back in the early 90s, right before they came out with all the Humvees. I saw Jeeps. That was before I saw a Humvee. But nevertheless, my Jeep had a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on it, and I had three or four men with me. But we saw the leopards far away. But when they got closer, they were not lepers. They were spiders about the size of a car. They knew that to me they looked like leopards far away. So they put two of their legs, they have eight legs, they put two together to make it look like four. And they were hopping over the sawgrass. But when they got too close, I knew what they were. It was four of them. Two of them ran out of sight. One of them webbed our weapons, and we never saw him. They moved so fast. He webbed our weapons so we couldn't use them. But he moved so fast we didn't see him. And one slowed down and allowed us to see him. He was safe because our weapons wouldn't work. Now they knew that we would have shot him. But the one that slowed down, his skin or his outer shell, it was so beautiful. It was bright orange and black. He, you know, from a distance, he looked like a leopard, but I never saw skin like that before, or not skin, but, you know, his covering. Beautiful spider.